Peter Matthews, our guest this hour, and this is the hour we will take your phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie, Peter Matthews with us. If you've been displaced, check in with us as well. Love to hear your story and see how you are doing as well. Peter, do you have any stories of people who have been displaced, who have either picked themselves up or could not?
I do, George. I'd like to read one from my book, actually.
Yeah, give us the highlight on that.
The disappearing middle class. Rob McGann of Pensacola, Florida, with an MBA degree, Master of Business Administration, was a purchasing agent for Boeing. He was recently laid off and found part-time work at a public supermarket. Although he now works full-time at the supermarket, his present-day pay is much lower than his previous one. He's not getting calls back for his job applications for higher-paying professional work. His potential employers say he's overqualified. This huge drop in income has left him sliding precariously out of the middle class in America. He says, and I'm quoting him, "It's tough, it still is. It's something I think about a lot. Not only all day and every day, but all the time." End of quote. I mean, if that doesn't move you,
it does move me.
It's just horrible, isn't it? What's going on?
How depressing is it for these people? I mean, Dr. Peter Breggin is our resident psychiatrist. He comes on a lot. I would ask him this. I mean, how depressing does this get for people when they lose their jobs, their careers, and they can't get back to where they were?
It must be really awful, because this man is well-educated, an MBA degree. He was making good money, was living the American dream, and all of a sudden it gets knocked out from under him for no fault of his own, George. That's the key right there. It's macroeconomic decisions by the elite, the power elite, with no concern about the regular Americans, that knocked him off of his feet just like that. And it's weighing on his mind every day. It could even shorten his life, George, if he doesn't completely get
depressed. The stress will kill him.
It could very well.
Now, are some companies, Peter, taking this $75,000 a year person and replacing him with a $30,000 a year person?
Absolutely correct. They're doing that over and over. And even when they hire younger people, if the younger people are able to get a job, the young people out of college are making $35,000 a year starting salary compared to $50,000 just 10 years ago. So even with the present jobs that are here, the same type of jobs, the income has gone way down. And if they let these older people go and fire them, they hire younger people and they pay them a fraction, sometimes as half as much, and with no benefits, George. That's the other thing. They cut off their benefits.
Wow.
There's a father-son team in Tennessee working for a plant. I think it was a GM plant. The father is on a different track because he was in the union, and he's making pretty good money. He's in his 60s, about to retire. He's making pretty decent money. He could buy his home and raise a family. The same son went to work in the same factory, and the company forced him to take about half the pay of his father for the next several years. And the income increases have been very, very low for young people also. In fact, the pay raises for recent college grads fall way below the average. They got 6% increase from 2006 to 2013. In 7 years, they got 6% increase. That's recent college grads, whereas the average increase is 15%. So there's such a disparity between different groups of people in America, and mostly it's the top 0.5% that's just making off like bandits. And the rest of the country, even upper-middle-class professionals, are losing income, like doctors and engineers, or being laid off and asked to take less. So this is a really, really pervasive problem in this country. It's happening in other parts of the world as well, but not so much in Western Europe and Northern Europe, where the government has stepped in and said, we believe that we have a social contract. We believe in promoting the public good, the common good. In our Constitution, by the way, our preamble says, the U.S. government was set up and charged with promoting the general welfare.
That's right.
The word welfare means well-being. It's not a bad word. And President Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, did an excellent job in the 30s with that. He was the architect of the New Deal with people who supported him. And this New Deal was able to put people to work who were unemployed. It put money and food in people's children's mouths when dad was out looking for work until he could find a job. And the public sector work really put money in their hands so they can go out there and then create new demand for products, which in the private sector could come alive and make those products. You see what I mean? With a balanced economy that was created with the New Deal. And it really reduced unemployment, George, from 40% unofficial, 25% official unemployment, which was actually 40%. So from 25% official unemployment with the New Deal, 5 years of the New Deal, it went down to 15%. It dropped by 10%. And don't let the revisionists of history tell you that it took World War II to get us out of the Depression. It was the spending of World War II that helped in the end. But it was the cutting back of the New Deal that stopped the decrease in unemployment.
Stopped the bleeding, didn't it?
It stopped the bleeding, but it didn't continue to stop. It didn't actually heal because the conservatives actually regrouped and struck down everything Roosevelt came up with to expand the New Deal. They cut him out. And that really hurt the economy. Finally, World War II came in, and it was the government spending in World War II that created more jobs. It wasn't the war itself, George. It was the government spending to get the war effort successful. The actual, why can't we spend government in peacetime, spend government money if we need to? Bring in the money from closing the corporate loopholes, make Facebook, Apple, and the oil companies pay a fair share of their taxes, like we all do. Bring that money in to massively rebuild American infrastructure, to provide money for small businesses to be able to start and continue, because as you know, a small business person starting a business goes out of business after 1 year. That's the toughest year to make it through.
It sure is. You get through that first year, you might be okay.
There you go. And that's where the capital comes in, and we should be using our money from the government, not wasting it on unjust wars and going out there and borrowing money to go to war in Iraq. Can you believe this?
Unbelievable.
That's what Bush did. Cost us a $3 trillion war that literally cost us a trillion, but with the interest on that was $2 trillion because he borrowed the money. And the other trillion is, of course, of our soldiers in uniform who are injured and damaged and mentally ill and having to get all kinds of help and can't be
And productive. The insurgents are taking it back anyway.
And it's even worse now in terms of the life quality there, and the insurgents are taking it back anyway, and Iraq will probably be divided into three countries.
No doubt.
When I was on NBC, they actually asked me to come on NBC here in L.A. and speak when President Bush was recommending that we should go to war in 2003. I said, Mr. President, do not do it. The inspections are working, sir. We're finding no weapons of mass destruction. Saddam Hussein's letting us into all of his palaces. And even the U.N. inspectors are saying, let us work, do our work, we're doing well, and let's settle it this way. And I said, Mr. Bush, don't do it.
And he did not support al-Qaeda.
And Saddam Hussein did not support al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda hated his guts. Bin Laden wanted to kill Saddam Hussein. When the first President Bush was about to get Hussein out of Kuwait, Bin Laden made an offer. He said, I'll kill this guy. They hate each other because they're totally two different
That's
people.
One of the reasons Bin Laden got so upset with us is because the Saudi royals wouldn't let him and his cronies go and get Saddam Hussein out of Kuwait.
That's right. And that's why he got upset. So there's a lot of machinations. And the whole thing about the yellow cake uranium from Niger, a totally phony document put up by the Italian secret intelligence agencies that the British got a hold of and then gave it to Bush. And Bush said, I got the smoking document. Here it is. It says that Saddam Hussein's government is trying to purchase yellow cake uranium to build nuclear weapons. The fact is, Ambassador Wilson went there, was sent there by the CIA to check that document. He found that document was written in phony French, bad grammar, wrong person signed it, wrong Nigerian government official signed it, wasn't even in office at the time, and it was a phony document, basically. And people warned President Bush, don't pay attention to the document. But he was headstrong, and you saw what happened.
Let's take some calls here for you, Peter.
Sure.
We'll go to Edward, first of all, in Sussex, New Jersey, on the wildcard line. Edward, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Listening to you with much approbation. You've neglected to mention the additional factor of what has destroyed the homeowner, at least in New Jersey, are property taxes. No one in your broadcast on the radio is talking about this. We are being destroyed, absolutely destroyed with property taxes here. They're absolutely out of control. And our legislators do absolutely nothing. They all collect $49,000 a year for doing absolutely nothing. They're not at their offices. They're out doing other jobs. They don't answer the phone.
Edward, I suspect these property taxes are out of whack all around the country. Mine went up in St. Louis, Peter. I don't know why, but they did.
And do you remember in California, you know, in 1978, we had Prop 13 because of that. Those property taxes were out of control. But here's the problem. With Prop 13, the big corporations that own a lot of property, commercial property, they got two-thirds of the cut. The homeowners only got one-third of the money, and that was a big hoax perpetrated on us because that also took money out of the schools. But I'm with Edward. I think that we need to have tax reform in New Jersey, reduce the property tax on the small, middle-class homeowner especially, and give them relief or they're going to lose their homes. You know, otherwise, they're going to have another tax revolt like Prop 13, which did a lot of damage along the way as well. I mean, homeowners needed it. I would say Prop 13 homeowners should be able to keep their property tax cut. But let's not give the same tax cut to big companies that have lawyers who can make them have loopholes as to they come up with new laws about if you don't have half the people buying this home, this property together, then you don't have to have any reassessment of your value, property value. That was written in as a loophole. So the big companies got two-thirds of the breaks here, the Jarvis Gann Initiative, and the homeowners got one-third of it. totally unfair.
You can sense the frustration with people, can't you?
Absolutely. And these politicians are out there collecting money on the side. Is that what you said, Edward?
That's what Edward said.
Look at that.
Let's go to Maria in Hollywood, Florida, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Maria.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
My mom got me started listening to you.
Way to go, Mom.
I've been learning quite a lot. And so I heard you say a little earlier about call if you were displaced from a job.
Yeah.
Well, about 3 years ago, I got a really good job. I really, really loved it and passed my 3 months probation. I was there every day, never late a day. And I just come out of a suit from my homeowners association, and actually they were suing us, and I was almost going to have to go bankrupt. And but somehow I had a miracle where the mortgage company paid the debt. And then a month later, out of nowhere, the boss above my boss called me in and said, "You're a lovely lady. I can't afford to keep you." And not only did I not have unemployment, but then my house went into foreclosure the second time.
Oh, a double
and
whammy.
In Broward County, in this county alone, Broward County, Florida, where they had the whole big thing with the Chads back in the George Bush election, there are nearly 300 families a day that are being foreclosed upon. Families with children, families with, you know, just with no place to go. We're going to fight it, and but I want to just put this out there. If there's anybody, perhaps, that can help who's a musician, perhaps listening, you know how they had Farm Aid?
Mm-hmm. Where they Willie Nelson, yes, I remember that.
Yeah, where they raised all the money to save the farmers and their land.
Yep,
well,
I tried.
You know, the bankers here in Florida have gotten the judge's attention, and most of all the foreclosure cases are being thrown out in favor of the banks. And I would like to say that if there's anybody out there, I would love to see a home aid started in order to save people, to keep them in their homes, because we're taking in people coming through the borders, which is a, you know, a kind thing for America to do. But we have people in America who've been here for generations who need to stay in their homes and stay in America and not be refugees to another country because we have nowhere to go.
Well, you know, what I proposed to Peter a long time ago in 2008 was that this bailout money could have gone to individual taxpayers.
There you go. That would have done a lot much more good.
Give them a $100,000 check to let them use it for their mortgages or to buy an American car or something.
And that would have stimulated the economy much better. Right. Instead, you know, George, I got the figures on that. Out of the $767 billion bailout of Wall Street, only 1% of it went to homeowners, George, and yet the bulk of it was supposed to go to homeowners and small businesses.
Exactly.
And President Obama and the Congress did not put enough teeth in there to force the banks getting the bailout to provide the money for these sources that would really make the economy hum.
Wayne is in Montclair, California, west of the Rockies. Thanks for calling, Wayne. You're up.
Hello. My comment was the infrastructure of this country where you're talking about large corporations wanting to reinvest here. That's not going to happen. You've got companies that have left this country and gone various places around the world. They've spent millions to billions of dollars to build the infrastructures in those countries to produce their goods to sell around the world as well as here, obviously. That's not going to change because every 4 to 8 years in this country, you have a new administration that changes tax law, you know, all kinds of regulations. These countries that have brought these companies in have given them basically carte blanche, and they don't have to deal with all the taxes, all the regulations, all the labor laws, the unions, all of that. It doesn't exist. Why would you come back? You wouldn't. You've got companies like Boeing that are now going to China. They're not going to come back.
And they're thinking of changing their legal residency to avoid paying any taxes.
That's right.
Exactly.
Walgreens is doing that.
The woman before me nailed it on the head with her comments. And I've said for years, I used to be an RNC committee member, and I resigned my committee membership. I will tell you this. Part of the problem is the pay that you have, like you got the guy in New Jersey speaking of. If you tied the politicians' incomes to the median of the constituencies they represent, you would have people that had more interest in wanting to make sure that their constituents made a good income.
Or they wouldn't run.
Or they wouldn't run. But again, wouldn't that be better?
Yep.
These guys have basically litigated us out of competitive incomes. That's what's happened in this country. And it's not going to change because those companies are not coming back.
I don't think they will be back.
But we need to create new companies, give new companies incentives to start here with new products. I mean, look at Germany. It became an export market. It has some of the best telecommunications equipment now because the government, like I was talking about the Toyota Prius, the government has an industrial policy to educate people for skilled labor to produce those products, and the government then advertises and subsidizes those products when they're sold and gives the company the kind of capital it needs. But also the companies have to pay taxes. In Europe, by the way, the corporate income tax rate in Europe is about 25%. It's 10% less than ours. But there are no loopholes, George, and you too, sir. No corporate loopholes in Europe, so everyone pays that rate. It's a competitive system. Over here, you've got our rate is 35%, our corporate tax rate, and yet you got Facebook paying zero income tax and getting subsidies from our taxpayer here of $400 million. So it's the politicians. It goes back to the politicians in my book, Dollar Democracy with Liberty and Justice for Some. How to reclaim the American dream for all. I make a point. It's the politicians getting bought by the lobbyists and the corporations and the big businesses that need to be brought back into our fold. We, the people, have to take back our politicians, and we can do that by what's called clean money elections that Maine and Arizona have used, and other states are starting to use it, where if you want to run for state assembly in Maine, all you have to do is get $5 from 65 people. Then you qualify. That's a nominating fee. They nominate you that way. You take that money and turn to the Election Commission of Maine. The state of Maine writes you a check to run your campaign, and you have to pledge to not take any private money and not spend your own private money. That way, the people buy you. And you can actually go out and campaign and meet with people during the election.
Wow.
Not be on the phone.
Can you pay the fee yourself without having to even get it from anybody?
No, you can't. You have to show you have 65 people that really want you to
you
run.
Have to
so
have
it's,
that.
It's a good system. Yeah, and they have the same thing with their state senate. And when Maine became the first state to bring this in 1998, within a year, they had passed a comprehensive health care system, which covered 95% of their people, more than the state in the union, because 80% of the legislature was elected by clean money, and these people really wanted to serve the regular folks of Maine, not the health insurance lobbies and the HMOs. It really works. So we need to move to that kind of system, but for that to really have teeth in it and to be permanent, we need a 28th Amendment that would remove corporate personhood. It would say corporations are not human beings with full natural rights. They are a legal fiction, an artificial entity that's important to make money, make profits, hire people, but they can't buy the government. And same thing with money is not equal to speech. Like in 1976, the Supreme Court said that money is equal to speech. Therefore, a person's money is his free speech ability. It cannot be regulated, basically, very hard to regulate it. And they can spend as much of their money as they want, these corporations now, because of money equals speech. Take that part out and have a 28th Amendment. And there's a group called Move to Amend Coalition. They have 450,000 people that signed the petition. They've got two Congress members who have actually introduced the amendment and about 70 co-sponsors. So it's actually a movement. You go to movetoamend.org and you can check it all out.
But all right, Peter.
That's what we got to do.
We're coming back to take final phone calls with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Peter Matthews with us, author of Dollar Democracy. Peter, let's make a bet.
All right.
Are we going to whittle our way out of this mess or not?
We are. I'm sure we are, because this country was in a bigger mess before this, and we whittled our way out of, for example, the Great Depression. We got out of slavery. We really did things as people got involved. You know, when the people lead, George, the leaders will follow. That's been proven here in America. And I'm very optimistic that the American people can get together once they're informed by, for example, radio shows like yours. You're reaching millions of people. And when they hear these things, you know, if they go out and get my book, for example, Dollar Democracy with Liberty and Justice for Some, How to Reclaim the American Dream for All, they can actually go to my website, epetermatthews.com, and they can order it there. Go to amazon.com or be at Barnes & Noble. They're all carrying any bookstore, neighborhood bookstore has it. But the main thing is to get educated, George. Once people are educated, they tend to take action in America. We are a nation of action and of ideas. That's what the beauty of this country, my friend. So I do have faith. I think we're going to get ourselves out of this thing if people come together and make the difference.
I hope you are right. First-time caller, John Barnhart, Missouri. John, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello, George.
Hi there, John.
How you doing? I just called about being a displaced worker real quick. 14 years I worked for this real good company, And 2 years ago, my mother passed away, and my dad passed away last month.
Sorry to hear that.
Sorry.
And they said my performance was bad on there. Well, I did my best working weekends, working every day, you know. I had no one else in the family to try to take care of them. My dad had macular degeneration. And I've been looking every day. You know, it's just impossible. I cannot find nothing.
And let me ask, how old are you, John?
49.
49 years old. That's pretty young there, Peter.
It really is. He's got decades ahead of him, and yet the employers in this country are going to try to find someone younger than him and try to milk them at half the wage. That's what's got to be regulated, George. I mean, the government has to get back on the side of the people to make sure this gentleman, John. John's life is, you know, can continue with the American dream that he had. He took care of his parents till they passed away. What more could one ask of a son? You know, we've got to bring back feeling into our lives here.
And he still performed.
He kept going. And all they want to do is probably just find someone younger they could pay half the amount of money. And that's got to be regulated. And it can be by government if people get involved.
What happened with doing the right thing? I mean, everything now is shareholder value. What happened to morality? What happened to doing the right thing for the individual?
It's been put on the back shelf by a few elites who wanted to make a lot of money. They bought certain politicians to actually push that idea that government can't do anything right and we can't do much for each other. Just stand on your own 2 feet, go out and work hard and keep working hard, and that's it, and take care of your own family. The rest of you, the country will take care of itself. This was a very rugged individualism, George, brought in primarily by the Reaganomics back in 1980. The most recent incarnation was the Reaganomics. This is the same attitude we had back in the 1890s, in the 1920s, when the stock market crashed, and many people said, go out and get on your own feet. And to me, that's not a way a great country would live or prosper. And that's where FDR came in. But all that politics aside, John, this has to do with, does your employer think of you as a human being or not? You are a human being, just like him. That connection has to be continued to be brought back in this country by our spiritual leaders, our political leaders, our teachers, and people like John. You know, I'm really sorry to hear what happened, John, and I really wish you some kind of, I don't want to call it luck, but goodwill that someone will see, hear your story, and then try to employ you as well.
I'll take the luck, too, if it comes our way.
Okay, there you go. That'll help, too.
Let's go to Barbara in Los Angeles. Barbara, thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think the reason there's a spike in mental health maladies is because people are so despondent over not being treated fairly, and then their doctors medicate them instead of advocating for a just society. And I think if the doctors did that, the prescription levels would go down and it would be a cheaper medical system and people would feel better about themselves. So I'll listen off the air.
Okay.
Yeah, we're over-medicating our children, too, as you know,
sure.
George. And, you know, this is keeping people from getting up off on their feet and trying to do something to some extent. And really it has to do with humanity, caring about each other, and then just putting it into practice. Simple as that. And she's right. That lady is so correct. That if we would do this the right way, this country would prosper again, and we've got to do it. There's no other way to go but up.
Don't forget the denominator that's out there, though, Peter, and that is cripple the United States. Bring it down to its knees. Bring it in fold. Don't let it be as powerful as it once was. That's a variable you have to factor in.
You've got to think about that. That's certainly something that's not always on the front burner, but it's right there. If you look at it, you can see it. And that's what's been happening to our country, is becoming crippled by a few elites who have no allegiance to this country. They want to make the fast buck, the quick buck, anywhere in the world. They'll sell their souls. You know, I love what it says in the scriptures. What does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world but lose his own soul? What would it profit a nation if it gains the whole world but loses his own soul? And that's the elites of the nation. And we may be moving in that direction unless we turn the ship around.
Let's go to Hal in Midland, Texas now. Hal, it is your turn. Go ahead, Hal.
Oh, thank you so much. Love you guys. I was listening in 2008.
Thank you, Hal.
You talked to Mr. Matthews and suggested that money go, you know, it went the wrong way. It went to the corrupt bankers. And, of course, Bush had his failures and his idiocy. But why is Obama having such failure? Why is he such a failure? You know, it looks like we certainly need moral clarity and moral capitalism. We need some people. Boys, this program is exactly. I just want to cry or scream or something with this country going the way it's going. You know, this should be required listening.
Yes.
Well, yeah, maybe one day it will be. We'll have 100 share of the market. That's not
a great program.
Hey, thanks for the call, Al. Appreciate it. But, you know, without getting involved politically here, Peter, whether we're talking about Republicans or Democrats or Libertarians, this country needs a shot in the arm. We need a boost, and we're not getting it from anybody right now.
No, it goes back to, I hate to be trite about it, but it's the dollar democracy, the almighty dollar, which has bought the most politicians of all parties, except for a few smaller parties, which are truly believe in ideals. But most of the people running this country are bought and paid for, and that's what this book of mine exposes. I mean, I've got so much skullduggery in here, I haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg. So if they could pick it up, but you're right, George, this is what it's at, is the leadership is not morally clear about what they believe in. They don't go for it and say, we're going to stand on principles. We're not going to just play games and you know, compromise our core values and then bring America together, because this country will unite if the core values are clear and they're the right values. You know, I want to quote Paul Wellstone, sir, if you don't mind from it.
Yeah,
my friend
ahead.
Senator Wellstone said, politics is not about power. Politics is not about money. Politics is not about winning for the sake of winning. Politics is about improvement of people's lives. He's redefining politics, the original meaning of it. It came from the word polis, the Greek word, which means community. So getting involved with and by and for the affairs of the community and making decisions with the community and for it, that's the most noble politics, and that's the real politics. We've perverted it in this country with dollar democracy. So that's what I would say, sir, and we need a shot in the arm. You're right, George, and I'm sure the gentleman out there believes the same thing.
His plane went down in 2002. When it did, what did you think?
Oh, my God. You know, I heard about that in the coffee shop. I drove home with tears in my eyes because Paul had been down to my area of the country, and he met with me, and his wife was there, Sheila. We got to know them. My wife got to meet them. It was so beautiful. And then just in 2002, I met him in 1998. 4 years later, there was the story about his plane crashing. And I heard that the CNN anchor person was asking the person on the ground, was the weather bad? Was it the weather? And the person on the ground said, no, the weather's fine. And so I really have some real doubts as to what happened there, George, and we've got to get to the bottom of it. But you know what happened? I heard also the feds just sealed off the area. They sealed it off completely. Wouldn't let the state investigators in or the local ones in there? And then they took 1 year to come up with a report, and they called it basically mechanical failure or something like that, or weather.
Jeez.
Which is just and by the way, you've got to keep something in mind here. When Paul Wellstone died a few days before the election, he was 9 points ahead.
That's
after
right.
Having voted against the war in Iraq, after going to not give Bush permission to go in there, he was 9 points ahead, and the plane goes down, he dies, and then the other party takes power, and then Bush gets his way completely, basically.
Do you remember when Missouri Governor Mel Carnahan, who was running for the Senate, when
yes,
his
I
plane
do.
Went down in 2000?
His plane went down, too.
Yep. That
exactly.
was another tragedy. I remember that. I knew him well.
You did.
Let's go east.
Yes.
Anthony is in Indiana. Go ahead. Anthony, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, George, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Hey, I was displaced from my job a year ago as a surgical tech for 17 years, and I got my training in the United States Navy as a hospital corpsman. And it happened after a merger with two of the local hospitals, and being 54 years of age and making a considerable amount of money, I was unable to get unemployment, and every application and resume I put out there, every medical facility in the area would not even respond to me or anything like that, like I was blacklisted.
Wow.
Huh.
That is so tragic, having so many people. How long ago was that, sir?
A year ago.
Just a year ago. This is continuing.
Yes.
It started with the recession.
Difficult to pull out.
And even before the recession, George, this was happening, wasn't it? Even before it, before 2008, this was happening since the 80s.
Oh, yeah, it was. Anthony, thanks for sharing that story with us.
Yes, thank you so much.
You know, Peter, you know, we could be doing this every night, and we would get calls from all kinds of people across this country who have been displaced.
And we know some of them personally, too, in our lives, our friends. Yeah. And the children, this will be the first generation to not do as well as their parents, George. How tragic is that? If things keep going like they are, it's been shown by social analysts. This young generation of the 20 to 30-year-olds right now will be the first generation in America to not do as well as their parents. And that is, we see it all over the place right now in personal examples, and that is a tragedy, and we've got to turn that around.
Bob is in Chicago, Illinois. Hey, Bob, go ahead.
Thank you, George. Sure. Peter, I love this country, but our government is no good. Why haven't we passed laws to stop going overseas with these jobs? Is it still illegal to buy tobacco from Cuba? I'm told that if you wanted to buy tobacco from Cuba, you could go to prison. Why can't we just pass laws to stop dealing with China, Mexico, India? Bring these jobs back here. Tell these politicians that we want these jobs back here, not overseas. Otherwise, we're going to vote them out of office. We have to do something about this. Everybody keeps talking about these jobs we're losing. Bring the jobs back. Pass laws where we cannot. These manufacturers, clothing industry, furniture industry, appliance industry, they have these. Everything has to be made here.
You know, Bob's right, but we've been legally extorted by China. They own all our debt. So
talk about that debt. That $17 trillion our federal government owes, and over $2 trillion owed to China, $1 trillion to South Korea. It's a huge amount owed to foreign interests. But you know what, sir? I believe what you're saying is right. We should get the right people in office by all of us getting together, informing ourselves and voting accordingly to bring those jobs back. By the way, it's not just manufacturing. High-tech jobs are gone now. In India, you've got Microsoft opened up a software park there, where they hire Indian computer scientists to write the software for one-fifth the wage of an American college graduate coming out of here.
One-fifth?
One-fifth. 20,000 a year rather than, well, it's actually 20,000 rather than 85,000.
Now, let me ask you this, Peter.
Yeah.
If you own the business.
Sure.
And you could save money manufacturing overseas and make more money because you ship it in even cheaper, would you do it?
I would certainly not do it the way they're doing it now. In fact, my friend, Mr. Dave, owns a manufacturing business here in Los Angeles. He's making good money. He lives in Palos Verdes. It's a nice house. But he has had offer upon offer to move his factory from this part of town into China to make far more money, and he's refused to do it, which is really remarkable. There are some people with some morals who would say, it's important that I make profit, but a fair profit, and I can't leave my workers here in America in the lurch because they help make me wealthy. There's got to be some allegiance, George, a balanced approach. And I always talk about fair trade. Remember we talked about earlier in the
yeah.
show? That if we could get those other countries to raise their wages more, then those people have money to buy our new products and we can create new products. That model was tried in Europe, by the way, in the 60s, when the northern European countries had a common market. They dropped all the tariffs among them. They were advanced industrial countries, Germany and Belgium and Holland. And the southern Europeans like Greece said, we want to come in here, like Mexico did with us with NAFTA. We want to come into your common market. The northerners said, you know, you can come in, but not right away. You've got to raise your labor standards step by step to get closer to ours, raise your environmental standards, and raise your human rights standards, and then we'll let you in. And that worked. That they let them in step by step. And then when the German companies went to Greece to set up a factory there, they had to pay more money. The Greek workers had money to demand new German products. That's the fair trade model, sir. And we can't shut all the borders down again. Globalization is here. It's hard to put the genie back in the bottle.
You can't do that.
But we can fix it. We can make it work for the people of the world, for people of America especially, as opposed to just the corporations, which is going on now. And your answer is the politicians have been bought. Dollar democracy with liberty and justice for some. Until we fix that, then you'll know how to bring back the American dream for all, and it'll work.
Dave in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Dave, thank you for calling. You're up. Go ahead.
Hello, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I really appreciate you guys talking about this. I know you've done it quite a bit over the years and years that you've been on the air. It's a serious, serious topic that can't be undersold. I'm just curious. I would like to know if your guest has a take on how the government has systematically destroyed the value of labor with the importing of people from all over the world through their open border policies and the ignorance of proper immigration laws. And on top of that, the amount of money they pour into supporting the children of these people and allowing them to move right in to what was once the workplace of the American people.
That's what's so hard to figure out here, Peter.
Yeah, he's definitely got a point that a lot of labor has been used over the years in America to undercut unions, undercut working people, even the European workers that came in from Italy and Ireland. They were not unionized. But the key, I believe, is to get those wages up here, strengthen our unions here, allow them to organize, and make laws that would require higher wages, but also get the people in those countries like Mexico to raise their wages before we let them in the trading agreement area, free trade agreement. That's a fair trade model, and you know, it's going to take a little while, but right now we could start with investing in this country. And I think government should hire people directly. They should keep the firefighters, the police hired because they've been laid off. They should keep nurses hired. They should bring in new teachers and hire them. The government has a lot of money it could spend if it spent it wisely. Cut back on some of the unnecessary defense spending, like we're the number one defense spender in the world, $500 billion a year. We spend more money than the next 10 countries put together. It doesn't mean we're stronger necessarily. We need some defense. So we need to reorder our spending priorities. And I would say go back to a new deal like FDR had, and let's hire our Americans directly, create small business entrepreneurship capital for them, and that'll help create more jobs here. And so the illegal immigrants that come over here, they're coming here for a better life as well, and that has to be regulated to some extent.
Well, it should be. Would you give out your website, Peter?
Sure.
We're almost out of time.
My website is epetermatthews.com. And Matthews is spelled with one T, M-A-T-H-E-W-S, epetermatthews.com. And they could go there, or they can go to there and then click on the Amazon link and buy the book from Amazon, or get it on Kindle, or go to Barnes & Noble's. And a lot of neighborhood bookstores like Roman's and Book Soup in L.A. have this book as well.
All right, my friend.
Okay?
Thank you so much, Peter. You take care of yourself. Up next, well, stick around and find out on Coast to Coast AM.